Fellowship and Vic Stance for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to commercial-free and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? And we're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of PRN.FM or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. We thank this radio station for allowing us to now have questions you may have answered on next week's show. As Jesse at Progressive Radio Network, he's announced, the voice line is 862-800-8605. Just leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our show, What in the Cell is Going On. Our guest today is Alex Mayer, who used to be pro-vaccine until she was disabled by them. And we're going to let her share her story. Welcome to our show today, Alex.
Thank you so much, Renee. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, and we're so excited to hear your journey, although it's not a really happy one, I'm sure, but it's turned out with a great outcome, and I'd like everybody to hear that.
Yeah, that's right. I've managed to make lemonade out of lemons.
So start from the beginning. I know you sent me something, but I'd like you to just share with the audience, you know, what you had to go through to learn truth.
Yeah, first, my last name is pronounced Meyer, like the hot dogs, like Oscar Mayer hot dogs and bacon and bologna that everybody knows. So it's Alex Mayer. And so that's interesting. It's part of my journey here because that blinded me to the fact that corporations could suffer from malfeasance. But anyway, I will start back at the beginning, which is that I was an MBA in my late 20s. I was doing really well. I got my dream job of my life, which was to go work for Apple Computer out in Silicon Valley. And they moved me from Chicago, where I was at business school at Northwestern, out to Silicon Valley to start working there. And by the time I was 30, I'd been promoted to running a worldwide research group. So I was not a slacker at the time. And I was supposed to go on a trip to Bali. And this was a vacation. And I thought, oh, gosh, I'm going out of the country. That means vaccines, because somehow we've been conditioned to equate an out-of-the-country trip with the need for vaccines. And I was no different. And I wanted to be protected. So I went to my doctor, and they said, well, you know, we can give you hepatitis B vaccine here. That's a new one. This is 1996. And for the rest of them, you'll need to go to travel medicine. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I go to travel medicine, and they're like, well, you could get hepatitis A from the water. And, oh, look, you haven't had your diphtheria and tetanus vaccine updated in a while. Let's give you that. So now I'm up to four vaccines, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, diphtheria, tetanus, and then they looked at my record and they said, well, you haven't had polio vaccine for a while, so let's give you that. Oh, and by the way, you could get typhoid from the water too. Why don't you have an oral typhoid vaccine? So I said, oh, of course. And so all of a sudden I'd had six vaccines and I just thought nothing of it. But a few weeks later, I had barely set foot in Hong Kong where we landed. And I collapsed. My legs went out from under me. My sister was there. I was shaking. I was crying. I didn't know what in the world was going on. I'd, you know, previously operated at a really high level. I was athletic. I was a windsurfer in the bay in San Francisco. I mean, I was no weakling, and suddenly I could barely walk. And then I got a 24/7 migraine, and that's when everything started to fall apart. And so I went from being physically ill all the time for about 6 to 8 months, to finally having cognitive disability where I couldn't remember anything that you told me. Like if somebody left a phone number on my answering machine, I couldn't remember it long enough to call the person back. And so that's kind of the summary of what happened right after the vaccines.
Mm. Unbelievable. So what? How did? So you obviously directly saw the reaction. So there was no question that that was responsible for your injury, correct?
Oh, my gosh, that is a fantastic question, Renee. Actually, I was so blind to the fact that vaccines could have done that, I looked everywhere but at vaccines. And I was told that I had chronic fatigue syndrome, and so I really, you know, blamed myself. And, you know, a lot of the doctors said, well, you need to go see a psychologist about this or psychiatrist. And I resisted for a while, and then, you know, when no treatments helped me, I'm like, okay, well, I'll go do that. You know, maybe I did somehow think my way into this. And, you know, I was physically ill. There was no way that cognitive behavior therapy was gonna cure me of being physically ill. So finally, I gave up on that. But it's been a very long journey.
Wow, that is crazy. So you didn't look at the vaccines at first, and what what or how long did it take you to start connecting the dots?
It took a very long time to connect the dots, Renee. It took about 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That just shows you how just so misinformed we all are. We're all victims. You know, we just think they save the world and you just have to get them. And there's no, you know, they're the sacred cow, literally. That's how brainwashed we are. Unbelievable.
Exactly, yeah. They are the sacred cow. And my cognitive dissonance ran so deep. I mean, even with all the physical symptoms I was starting to have right after I came back from that trip, I kept going to work at Apple. I mean, it was crazy. I was sleeping, you know, 11 hours a day, and that extended to 16 hours a day after a few months. I had arthritis. I had digestive problems. I had a 24/7 migraine. I was nauseated. I mean, it was awful. And I was just like that Black Knight in the Monty Python movie where, you know, the warrior comes in and cuts off his arm, and he's like, it's okay, I've still got my other arm. And then he, you know, gets his other arm lopped off. He's like, it's okay, I can still kick you. And then finally, at the end of that scene, the Black Knight is on the ground with no limbs at all. And he's like, it's okay, I'll still bite you. And that's how I was. I had so much cognitive dissonance about what was happening with me. I just kept, trying hard in the areas where I still had function. And then finally, when I lost the ability to read and remember about 6 or 8 months after those vaccines, that's when I finally wasn't that, you know, Black Knight anymore saying I can bite you. I just gave up and said, okay, it's time for medical leave of absence.
Wow. Wow. So you progressively, as the poison, you know, infiltrated your immune system, you progressively got worse over the time. I mean, over time.
I did. Yeah. And I don't understand how that happened, but maybe there was a point at which things crossed my blood brain barrier, and maybe too much mm-hmm. aluminum or mercury got to my brain. And then the cognitive symptoms really kicked in.
Yeah. And even with autism, I mean, we call it delayed onset autism, because even with my baby girl, it wasn't like she got a vaccine and became autistic. You know, it was like the more rounds of poison I allowed them to give her, the more that compounding toxicity, and how it doesn't, that's how the drug companies get away with it, Alex, I've realized, is that it's very, unless it's like sudden infant death syndrome or even shaken baby syndrome. We have people that are calling us with being accused of shaking their baby to death. Unless it's one of those type of vaccine reactions, you can't really, it's delayed onset. So how do you put the fingers on the vaccines causing it, you know?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, the latency is just killer, because you can't really tie a cause and effect together until you do epidemiology studies. And then, you know, the problems with epidemiology studies, because, you know, they say, you know, that's correlation, not causation. So you're really stuck in being able to prove these things.
So what started you down the journey of looking at the vaccines, being that you were pro-vaccine? Like, what made you start looking into it?
Yeah, first I thought I had chronic fatigue syndrome, because that's what all the doctors said, which is, you know, kind of at the time in the 90s, that was the garbage can diagnosis. You know, we can't figure it out, so you have chronic fatigue. Then probably in 2009, I got some Lyme disease testing, and one of my tests came back positive. And so I thought, oh, well, there it is. Now I finally know what I have. And I did all these Lyme disease treatments, which got me a lot better, but it wasn't the whole story. And I don't exactly remember what kind of put me over the edge of thinking it was vaccines, because what was really interesting is that I'd gotten married in the early 2000s and had twins in 2002, and I started reading all these vaccine books at the time, like the one by Stephanie Kayes and Dr. Sears. And by the time they were a year old, I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I want to keep going on this schedule. I'm just going to delay things here. And meanwhile, I was vaccine injured and had no idea. No idea. And so I think it took me another 10 years after having kids, when I was finally working with a doctor who really specialized in vaccine injury, and she finally put the pieces together for me and said definitively she thought that was what had happened. And as I looked back at the timeline of when I got so sick in 1996, and then I said, well, what did I do right before that? Oh, my God, 6 vaccines. Okay, I guess that's what it was. And, you know, everything that I've learned since then has just confirmed that that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you didn't know, just like I did not know, that the witch's brew they're putting directly into our bloodstream, you know, not only the blood of animals, because they use, you know, the kidney of monkeys for the polio shot, the jugular of a horse for the DPT, aborted fetal tissue for the MMR, but then they add mercury and formaldehyde and aluminum and antifreeze and MSG and, you know, Nagalase and on and on and on, the ingredients on the back of our card. And we're poisoning ourselves. We're bypassing our body's natural defenses, fever, vomiting, diarrhea that our creator gave us if it comes through the methods of exposure that he intends, which is the nose or the mouth. You know, they're going straight to the bloodstream with this stuff. And that's just mind-blowing that you had to, you know, like many of us, have to be victims to learn and to have us even, you know, question the medical deities that just make it sound like these things are the best thing since sliced bread, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it really is. It is a really, it's a chemical soup. And I think a lot of the arguments about, you know, the doses, the poison really don't apply because these are very, very small amounts of these things. But as you said, they don't come into your body in a natural way and it bypasses all your natural defenses.
That's right. And then also, you know, how sick was that particular monkey that they made that particular batch with? You know, because they're extracting a live virus from a live animal, and you extract a live virus from a sick live animal, you're extracting every virus that particular animal ever had. And then again, you're injecting it directly into the bloodstream. So the body's, you know, basically attacking the poisons that we're putting into them. But it only takes one bad vaccine. Do you know that we lost a little girl, a two-year-old little girl that came to us? Her mother found my presentation when she was 2 months old. So she stopped her vaccines. 2 months, because she's only gave her one round of vaccination, she had told me when she met us. And do you know that she ended up passing away with leukemia just from that one vaccine?
Oh, my gosh. That is so sad.
Exactly. So how sick was that particular batch?
So hard to save people when one vaccine can do that.
Oh, yeah. Even my baby girl, I remember when we checked her records, two of her vaccines were pulled off the lot. The lots were pulled because of all the reactions that they had caused, you know, negatively in children. So they have hot lots, I think they're called, where when so many babies or so many people respond negatively to it, they pull it. Hot lots, it's called. And two of hers had those.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Yep. And, you know, but I want listeners to know also that the first place you jump to if you're pro-vaccine is like, oh, you must have had a bad vaccine. That's so rare. And, you know, you and I know that those are called hot lots. But that's not necessarily the case with everybody who's injured. It doesn't have to be a quote-unquote hot lot or a contaminated vaccine. It can be any vaccine or any combination of vaccines.
That's right. That's right. You know, like I said, how much of the heavy metals, you know, the nurses don't even, what I've learned is they don't even know that, you know, you have to success it and shake it up. So if your child's the last couple of doses of that vial, which my girlfriend Linda, who helps me fight for the baby, she does our website. That's what happened with her son, Stevie. She remembers the nurse, you know, putting the needle in his leg or getting ready to, and she went to grab the nurse's hand to stop her because she saw the heavy metal. She saw that it was the last couple of doses. And before she could, you know, stop it, the needle went into him and he's severely autistic. So,
wow.
You know, yeah, I mean, we just don't, how, you know, and who's done studies on the combination of mercury, which we know is a neurotoxin, they used to call poison control and evacuate schools when you broke a thermometer,
right.
It doesn't belong in the body, and then who's ever done studies with the mercury combined with the aluminum, with the formaldehyde, I mean, all the witch's brew.
That's those studies have never been done.
It's never
and
been done, just like,
studied.
Yep.
It's an accumulative exposure to aluminum and mercury. Nobody's ever studied that either. I mean, why wouldn't our government do that before adding a new vaccine to the schedule? I mean, you can see the safe dose of aluminum. People put together charts, and, you know, there's a certain amount of aluminum that's safe and, you know, less neurotoxic, but you can see the cumulative dose of aluminum that kids get over time goes way, way, way over what's considered a safe dose. And why are we still doing it if we know that?
I know. There's something definitely not right about the picture. And the fact that, you know, vaccines have gone from, you know, four or five that when we were young, you know, now they're getting, what, 38, 39 by the time they're 18 months of age. I mean, it's just, it's insane what they're doing to our children.
And I want to talk a little bit about that because I've been working with my family and helping them understand what's going on. And it's so interesting because people in their, let's say 70s, they weren't exposed to this number of vaccines when they were kids. And I think everybody just has a tendency to go with what happened to them. And they think, well, I got vaccines too, and I was fine. And they don't have kids these days. So they don't know that this is going on, that they're, you know, 72 doses or 74 doses before the age of 18. And they're just, it's such a disconnect for them. They just don't understand. And it's really only happened to, you know, my generation. I'm in my 50s, and I think there are people in their 50s and 60s who started having kids in the late 90s and early 2000s, especially when the vaccine schedule got so bloated, and those are the kids who are starting to get affected. So we're getting a bigger and bigger group of people who know about these side effects, but it's just starting right now.
Yeah, you're right. The generation today, you know, I mean, probably every child has some type of injury, whether it's, you know, as little as, you know, ADHD or even dyslexia. All that's vaccine injury, just different, you know, different, you know, labels, basically, we teach. And even my husband teaches, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of his wisdom, but he teaches that even cancer, all diseases, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, they're all the same. All of them are the same. There's one disease he teaches in his What in the Cell is Going On CD. There's one disease, and it's repackaged 40,000 plus different ways by the drug companies. And that one disease is cellular malfunction. And the reason it's the cell, the body's made up of cells. And when they malfunction, we malfunction. And that's there's only two causes to every single cellular malfunction, and that's including Lyme disease, and that is compounding toxicities and compounding insufficiencies. So obviously the main culprit is the blood poisoning over and over and over and over and over again.
That's but, right, Renee. And they used to call it, when people were vaccine injured, it's interesting, they used to call it bad blood. But now they've named it, you know, like 100,000 different things, so nobody knows that those are all a group of the same things caused by the same agent.
Exactly. That sets the stage we teach in our presentation. The vaccines definitely compromise the immune system because you won't find cancer and or autism in unvaccinated children. Mayor Eisenstein had a video about that on the website before. All of his unvaccinated patients had no cancer and no autism. But yeah, it's what you know, that sets the stage. That's the blood poison compromise the immune system. And then what you eat, breathe, and drink on top of that, compounding toxicities. And that's why we have to get the toxins out of the body. And that's what my husband and I do all over the world now, is teach people how to clean up their cells, their liver, their kidney, their gallbladder, their lymph, their blood, you know, heavy metal chelator, and just a whole system for 21 days that they do twice a year at least, because every time they do it, it goes deeper and deeper. I'm actually jonesing right now to do our cleanse. But it's amazing because we see ALS go away. Literally Lou Gehrig's disease, my dad died of. Horrible, horrible disease.
Really? My father died of that too.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah.
I had my hand on my dad's heart singing Amazing Grace to him when it took its last beat. I mean, everything, if you remember, stops. Everything just stops.
That's right.
And he used to get his flu shot every year. He was a truck driver, so he lived on cheese crackers and sodas and smoked and drank and, you know, compounding toxicities on top of his vaccines injuries, you know. But even congressional hearings have been, I don't know if you know Congressman Dan Burton back in the late 90s, 2000s.
Of course, yeah.
Did you know about him, how he was connecting the autism epidemic to the vaccines because of his grandson and his granddaughter who was injured? But he had hearings on SV40, simian virus number 40, meaning the 40th monkey virus found in cancer tumors. They're finding monkey viruses in cancer. Cancer is every other person today. It's going to be everyone's 5G comes out.
Right. That's right.
I mean,
gosh, that's another topic.
Say that again.
I want to go back to the ALS and my father. Yeah. And this is my biological father, by the way. I have two fathers. And I'm 99% sure I recall he got a flu shot right before he had his first symptoms. Is that what happened to your dad as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that was just on top of the already, you know, poison in his body had from even his child vaccines. These things don't leave your body, you know.
No, they don't.
They stay in, unless you do the cleanse and you clean up the cells and get the poisons out. You don't just like urinate them out, you know.
No, they stay in there.
Exactly.
That's
and
right.
DNA goes to your DNA, my husband teaches. It's like a bovine glandular. It goes to your, you know, or carrots, vitamin A in carrots goes to your eyes for healing. Well, these vaccines, the DNA of animals go to our DNA, you know, and to our cells. And that's why it's so important that we clean up. So why don't you share with everybody where, you know, how you've become, you know, less symptomatic and how you are today and how you got there.
Oh, my gosh. Let me see if I can make this a short story. This is a very long story. I took a medical leave of absence from Apple when I was 30, and I'm 52 right now. So I would say that as soon as I got the Lyme disease diagnosis, it led me to some possible avenues for treatment. And luckily, I'd, you know, been in and out of the medical system so much by the time I got the Lyme diagnosis that I knew that antibiotics were not the way forward. And it's very interesting now because there's been a lot of research showing that antibiotics may be making the condition of Lyme disease worse. And there are a lot of reasons for that that I won't go into right now. But I'll just say there's a really interesting study on bee venom therapy comparing it to some of the antibiotics commonly used in Lyme disease, and it showed that the antibiotic commonly used in Lyme disease was creating more spirochetes, which is the organism that causes Lyme disease, whereas the bee venom actually reduced the spirochetes and this condition called persisters. So wow. I think that study is more telling about antibiotics than it was about bee venom, to tell you the truth. But so that was very significant for me that I did not go the route of antibiotics. I tried for 2 weeks, and it just didn't work for me. And the reason I'm dwelling on this so long is because that allowed me to take herbs. And herbs tend to not be so targeted. So if you take an herb that's an antibiotic, it can also be an antiviral. It can be an antifungal. And if you're vaccine injured, you've got all of that going on. And so what I was doing without knowing it was taking a very, very broad spectrum treatment. And so the first thing I did was do all these herbal formulas. There was a lot of Chinese herbs. There's a protocol by Zhang. There's a protocol by Cowden. There's a protocol by, Stephen Buhner. Those were all super powerful for me. Now there are a whole lot more formulas you can take. But it allowed me to start to get ahead of things. The next thing I did was a bunch of oxygen healing therapies. I started doing ozone treatments and Excellent. Ultraviolet blood irradiation. And then I went through a phase of doing MMS, which was incredible. It was really, really good for me, believe it or not.
What was it called?
Now, what's so interesting that you're talking about our cells is that I am 100% focused on making my cells work better. And so I have adopted the protocols of Dr. Jerry Tennant, and he talks a lot about voltage in your cells. And if you can get your cells to be the right voltage, they can operate as they're supposed to. They can communicate with each other. They can take in nutrients. They can expel toxins. And if you just get that voltage to the right level, then you are cleaning out your cells, just like Wow. you're talking about.
Yeah, that's powerful. We actually have a scanner, a cellular scanner called the Quantum Scio, out of Budapest, Hungary, that does exactly that. It actually, we don't use it for treatment yet. I have a feeling we're going to be, because my friend Dr. Jeff just gave us his, so we have two of them now.
Wow.
So I have a feeling we're going to be using it as a biofeedback assessment as well as a treatment device, but it literally can give you, like say you have a parasite, for instance, it can give you the frequencies of that parasite to kind of like homeopathy, you know, mm-hmm. how it like cures like.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, we have a scanner that we're going to start definitely using to help people, you know, sharpen their cells and get them, you know, the voltage, like you said, because Gary teaches when a cell's sick, it wobbles, whereas when it's healthy, it vibrates. So we want that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's a beautiful image. Yeah, I like that.
Gary
Tennant is really quick to point out that voltage is the same thing as pH. So if you've got a pH of, let's say, positive 14, that's very acidic, and that corresponds with a voltage of plus 400 millivolts. And at the opposite end of the spectrum, if you're very alkaline, which you probably wouldn't be, you'd be at a 14, and that corresponds to negative 400 millivolts. And so the optimal cellular pH, is, as you guys probably know, and as taught by Jerry Tennant, is 7.35 pH. Mm-hmm. And that corresponds to a voltage of about negative 25 to negative 35 millivolts. So I actually use his equipment to add voltage to myself every day, and it's been amazing.
Wow, that's crazy. And I didn't tell you my husband's other book that he's already written, which is a bestseller on Amazon, and he has a CD that goes with it called The Battle for Health is Over pH. So
yeah.
I'll be sending those to you.
That's awesome. Please do. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why people say alkalize or die.
That's right.
We've got to be alkaline because we have so many electron stealers coming into us all the time. I mean, vaccines are a huge electron stealer. Aluminum is a big electron stealer. And so you've got to counter those with electron donors all the time, and that's antioxidants, or in my case, I'm adding voltage directly.
Excellent, excellent. And you're using what to do that again?
I'm using some equipment developed by Dr. Jerry Tennant in Texas, and it's called a biomodulator and a biotransducer.
Okay, I wish my husband was on today because he would probably know what those are. Well, we're coming to Texas, so we need to get together.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we're actually going to be driving our Wellness on Wheels that's in the shop right now, but they just texted me this morning and said it should be ready by the end of the week. And we're planning on heading towards, you know, Tallahassee, meet with an organic farmer, the original organic farmer, next week and our week after, and then continue on over to Texas. Where are you in Texas?
Oh, I live in California, but Jerry Tennant is in Texas, so I fly there.
That's awesome. I'm sure Gary's familiar with that device. So it's definitely not a medical device. It's definitely a healing device.
It is classified as a medical device. It has its roots in scanner technology and also with TENS. But unlike a TENS unit is for people with pain, and it deadens the nerves with frequencies that deaden the nerves. The frequencies that you can dial into Jerry Tennant's devices are biocompatible, and they make you function better.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely like to look into that. So I'll let Gary hear the show and we'll check all that stuff out. That's awesome. So do you have any type of effects now from your injury?
I do. I would say I still suffer from an inability to sleep really deeply every night, although I'm getting better with that. And I'd say at the end of this whole journey, Renee, it's kind of just this PTSD that, oh my God, you know, I could do something today that could put me right back to where I was before, and everything I've done to pull myself out of this could just go away. And that there's a real significant PTSD component when people get to the end of their journey, the end of their healing journey. And this is the beginning of another journey for me, but really the end of the healing journey is kind of a scary point when you look back and think, oh my God, could I ever go back there again? That would be awful.
Yeah. No. You definitely, that's not going to happen because you've met us.
That's right.
And not that we're anybody, by the way, but we definitely are health ministers. We see, like I said, ALS go away. We had a guy, Greg Fisher, come to us from Canada who was on an oxygen tank already with Lou Gehrig's. So his lungs were already not working anymore. And sure enough, he wasn't able to feed himself, couldn't shuffle cards, couldn't play with the grandchildren. 11 days into our cleanse, his wife emailed me and said he's starting to feed himself again.
That is unbelievable.
Just from stripping the cells.
But that's what you never see. You never see that in ALS. You never see reversal. That's just miraculous.
Oh, I know. So listen to this. So his family from Canada, they were so impressed after he finished the cleanse. They were so impressed with the results he got. They all wanted us to come up to Minot, North Dakota. So Gary's from Minnesota. We flew into Minnesota, visited his family, drove through Fargo, went up to Minot. About 20 or 30 of his family members came in from Canada, and we did a little presentation for them, and they all wanted scans, of course. And Greg came back for a re-scan, Alex, and he was off his oxygen tank.
Unbelievable.
He goes back to the doctor while we're in town for a couple of weeks. He goes back to his doctor that diagnoses him, and the doctor walks out and says, "This is not possible." ALS doesn't go away.
Right, and it makes the doctor doubt the diagnosis. Like, well, maybe it was just like progressive neuropathy, and we reverse that, you know?
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, the doctor probably told the nurse we misdiagnosed him.
I know.
Greg told me, he said, "Renee, I was telling him I was juicing, I was eating raw foods, I was cleansing, and it was like I was talking to the wall. It went right past his head."
That's right.
So nutrition's an elective class in medical school. You know that.
They don't take any classes in nutrition.
Right. And if they do even decide to take it, it's what's a protein, what's a carbohydrate, what's a fat. You know, it's nothing to do with health.
No, it's almost anti-health.
Oh, my gosh. Girlfriend, I had to learn, like I told you before, through the death of my first child. And when she had mono, Epstein-Barr virus, the last 5 weeks of her life, that I learned from one of our researchers also came from the animal viruses and the vaccinations. That ended up weakening her immune system that led into bacterial meningitis that took her life at 10 days after her fourth birthday. But 3 weeks into the mono, the top infectious disease specialist at Miami Children's Hospital, I'll never forget it, 3 weeks into the mono, I was bathing her and her dad walked in and said, she's losing weight. So we thought it could be something more than just the kissing disease. So I called this top infectious disease specialist at Miami Children's and I said, could it be something more? This looks like it's more than just mono. She's losing weight. And do you know what he told me?
What?
Feed her Oreo cookies. Feed her ice cream.
No.
He told me to feed. This is the top infectious disease specialist.
They are so clueless. Do you know the busiest time at a pediatrician's office? What week is it? You can guess.
I don't know, Halloween?
Yeah, it's the week after Halloween because all the kids suppress their immune system by eating all the candy.
Absolutely, that's sugar. That feeds the process. Absolutely, that's insane.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about your daughter. That is just heartbreaking.
And it is. I mean, it had to happen, though, because I would never have been woken up. I mean, you were pro-vaccine, so was I. I told her dad I'd never be a negligent mother and not vaccinate my child. I mean, we're just stupid until we learn, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And everybody's got to have their teaching moment. But the work that you and I are doing are trying to find where are those teaching moments for people who haven't been directly affected by vaccines or who don't think they've been affected. Because there are a lot of people affected, but they have the cognitive dissonance that we both had.
Yeah. And that's why my husband's teaching is so important, because, I mean, it makes sense that the body's made up of cells, trillions of cells. And when they malfunction, we malfunction. And that compounding toxicities, I mean, if we reduce the toxins in the cells, and that's a deep cellular cleanse, and my husband has developed a 21-day one that your eyes, your skin, your hair, things start coming back to life. It's amazing cleanse.
Wow.
So it kind of like takes your hand out from over your mouth so you can eat, because our cells are so caked with toxins we've been injecting, eating, and breathing. So our whole life, you know, like I said, the vaccines even that we got as a child are still in our body, you know?
Right.
So,
it's like a house in the mouth. The sump pump, because there's just too much stuff coming in.
Right. There's too much stuff coming in. So compounding toxicities, but then also compounding insufficiencies. So we our cleanse is, you know, organic vegetable juicing, only raw foods the whole 21 days. And so you're basically letting the juicer do your organs' job so they can clean the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, everything. Huh?
That's a great way to remember why to juice. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm like I said, I'm jonesing to do our cleanse right now because we try to do it 3 or 4 times a year, because in our Wellness on Wheels, I think I've started telling you that our 45-foot motorhome, we have a tag on the front that says, wow, Wellness on Wheels.
And, I love that.
And we travel all over the world. We're actually possibly driving it down to Mexico in the next couple of months, and that's something I want to touch on in a second, too, with you. We're opening a healing center down there, it looks like. But anyway, I can make a juice while he's driving down the road, you know? So we try to do, cause you can't, I'm 54 and you know, I've got 54 years and even before the 54 years, I mean, my mom's vaccines, the generational vaccine damage are passed down to us, you know?
That's true.
So
we should point out that there is generational vaccine damage, you know, even if the mom isn't getting vaccines during pregnancy, I think mm-hmm. that probably accounts for some of the cases of autism that occur in kids who are unvaccinated. Cause there are a handful in some studies of kids who have autism who did not have vaccines.
Right, and that's definitely generational, for sure, for sure, for sure. You know, our creator's perfect. You can't perfect perfection. Our body knows what to do, like a broken arm or a cut in the finger. And, you know, we just have to leave it alone, you know, to think that we have to go. I mean, we're the only country that even thinks pregnancy and delivery is emergency medicine.
That's a great line. I love it.
Our bodies know how to have babies and our boobies know how to feed them. That's what they were designed to do.
That's right. That's right.
Right? It's like, leave it alone already. We know they used to squat in fields, you know, when they were picking, you know, vegetables and stuff and have babies.
Exactly.
But we have to run to the hospital. Mm.
That's right. It's just, yeah, everything is so medicalized today. We're over medicalized.
That's right. So when you tell me, when you, you know, condole me for my loss of my baby, thank you so very much. But all I can do is thank our Creator for letting her be in my presence for 4 years and 10 days. When she was here, I called her angel and sunshine every day, nonstop, because she had big blue eyes, big smile on her face. She didn't talk. She was in a bottle and drinking, I mean, diapers and drinking a bottle to the day she passed away. But she was my angel, yeah. And but if he didn't allow her to be taken away from me, because, you know, as an autistic child, you know, they're 24, you're 24/7 with them. You can't do anything other than be their, you know, everything to them. Right. If he wouldn't have allowed her to leave, I would never have been able to accomplish everything that her life has accomplished for the children and for humanity, for that matter. So, like I said, I can't be... I have to look at it that way, or I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Yeah, you had an inconsolable loss, but you've found your purpose, and you are serving this community because of it. And I think all of us who've suffered severe vaccine injuries and had our careers and lives and other things taken away from us, or lives of loved ones taken away from us, we're here to work and let everybody else know that it's time to wake up, it's time to put two and two together and throw away that cognitive dissonance, because there is no... there's no advantage to telling people about vaccine injuries. I mean, you become a social pariah. Medical doctors can lose their licenses and worse. There's no advantage to doing this. So why would we be talking about it so much if it weren't true and if we didn't know it was true?
That's right. And there's a lot of us now. I pray for mercy for them because, I mean, this battle is way too big for us, Alex. Way too big.
It is. And we can be a part of a bigger battle. That's right.
Right. We're just pieces of the, yes, exactly. But, you know, definitely it's our babies that my heart, you know, reaches out to, just because, you know, you and I have the option to get those vaccines going out of the country or to go to Walgreens and get the flu shot. These babies come into the world perfectly created, you know, and we have the breast milk that's in our Creator's vaccine. No question. I nursed Casey till she was, gosh, almost 2 years old. And that was, you know, our Creator's way of giving the immunity that I had developed through my 30 some years at the time of immunity.
That's right. But, you know, and it was more effective than anything.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yep. And I think that's the only reason she wasn't as severely labeled autistic. I had to literally beg three different neurologists. The third one, I just got on my knees and I begged him, please give her the label of autism because she didn't talk. And I was trying to get her in Baldwin Oral School down in Davie, Florida, and she had to have that label to get in there. So I had to beg him, please give her the label of autism, because the biggest thing they do to diagnose these children is they the lack of eye contact is the biggest symptom that most of them have. But because I sang to her 95% of her life, my son forced her to play Ring Around the Rosies. We didn't let her slip away. Mm. And they wouldn't, because she'd look right at them when she would, they'd say, Casey, she'd look right at him, you know?
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she wasn't as injured.
Everything else going on.
Yeah. She wasn't as injured. I mean, she definitely was neurologically impaired. And obviously, you know, that led into her passing because of the animal viruses. I even on a previous show talk about my own clinical study, epidemiological study, because and I wasn't funded by the drug companies. I'm a mom. and I had for 2 years because my son Corey was 2 years, he was 20 months younger than Casey. So by the time he was born, we had realized that her injury happened from them. So we decided not to vaccinate him, although he did get the vitamin K. I didn't realize that had aluminum in it. But anyway, that's probably why he's got some issues, sensory issues. But anyway, so for 2 years, I saw the difference between a man-made, fully vaccinated immune system with my daughter, Casey, who received hers up until, I guess, 18 months, and then an unvaccinated immune system. And no comparison. I mean, they get the same little virus, Alex. He'd run a 10, 15-minute fever like our Creator designed our bodies to do and kill the same thing. She spent a week in the hospital the year before. You know, and even at her death, when they realized it was too late for her, they said, bring your son to the hospital. This is very contagious, you know, bacterial meningitis. And he was literally drinking her bottle and everything the night before and playing with her. Bring him to the hospital. My brother Shane was watching him at our house. I had Shane bring him over. They ask, is he up to date on vaccines? And by this time, I learned just to say, yes, he has all the vaccines he needs.
So is the answer, yes.
And that's a warning to everybody out there listening, because now this nurse whistleblower just came out saying that they ask you, and if you say no, they give them to you, since the Affordable Care Act at the hospital. Have you heard about that one?
No, I haven't.
Yes, on the front page of vacinfo.org, our website, you scroll down, you'll see the nurse whistleblower. She is saying that no matter what, since the Affordable Care Act, they will lose their job if they don't give you the vaccines without your consent.
Unbelievable.
I know. Unbelievable. I know. It's insane. But back to my son. So they take his blood and his urine. Two nurses, I'll never forget it. They take his blood and his urine. They came back at him. They said, not only does he not have Epstein-Barr virus or bacterial meningitis, but they said, we've never seen purer blood in a little boy.
How about that?
Is that insane? That? They could physically see clean blood.
He doesn't have a compromised immune system.
That's right. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We're letting them poison our bodies, basically.
That's
especially
right.
Our babies. But even us,
yeah.
I mean, your
you
experience.
Know what's so interesting, Renee, about the vaccinated versus unvaccinated. My kids were like heavily vaccinated until they were one, until I learned enough just to kind of put the pause button on. And I think because I didn't continue doing that to them, that they're healthier than they would have been. My daughter did have problems from her vaccines, and we treated it. That's another story. But they are so much healthier than other kids. They never get sick. Maybe once a year, one of them or both of them will get sick, but only for like a day or two. And
awesome.
It's just remarkable because the kids around them, their cousins are always getting sick. There's always like a family event. Their cousins can't come because guess what? They're sick again. So how can it be that they're related to their cousins and my kids never get sick and their cousins are always sick?
It's just right. How old are they now?
Different immune systems.
How old are they?
They are 16 and they're twins. I have a boy and a girl.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I'll also tell you that they ended up getting chicken pox at one point. And so they've had natural chicken pox, which is fantastic. And you wouldn't have known it happened to my son. And my daughter had one pock mark on her leg. It looked like a bug bite. That was it. And then when I took him to the doctor to get titers drawn, because I thought that maybe they'd been exposed to chicken pox and I should just see if they were immune, their antibody titers showed that they'd been exposed and they developed the proper immunity. And it was a nothing illness because they're so healthy.
Right. Exactly. And literally their bodies are prepped for adulthood and survival. That's why Father even allows us to have these mild diseases like chickenpox, by no means deadly. Measles,
right.
Mumps, rubella, most of our parents had. You know, I'm sure you're out of school for a couple of days, maybe a week, you know, but your body is building an immune system to not get cancer later in life, or ALS, or these aggressive diseases that nobody, you know, really knows about that they keep coming up with.
That's right. Yeah. So you take away the natural infection that can be protective against all these diseases, and you're giving people poisons and toxins that make people more vulnerable to these same diseases. It's crazy. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
That's exactly right. Gary uses those exact words in his presentation.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Awesome. It's so true. Oh. It's so true. It's when you have eyes to see, it's so clear. And, you know, the powers that be are doing everything in their power to stop everything. I mean, they're trying to take our freedom of speech away, i.e. is why I even have this radio show. They're trying to, you know, they're kicking kids out of school here in Florida. I got a whole group of people. They're kicking out of a private school because they have the religious exemption and the school's telling them you can't come back. Their kids can't come back. so it's amazing how much truth's out there that we've had to learn, yet we're still being, you know, just totally downgraded and totally humiliated via the media, which is controlled by the drug companies, of course, I'm sure you know.
That's right. Yeah, they pay for 70% of ads. They never hear the truth through the media, because what newspaper or magazine or TV station would ever want to bite the hand that feeds them? They'd lose 70% of their advertising revenue. They can't do it.
Hello. Exactly. I know. It's, even if you can't even cure cancer, Gary teaches, because you cure however many billions of dollars. It's all about the root of all evil, the love of money, I've learned. And it's just crazy.
Right.
It has to stop. And I'm sure you won't either, because you're a victim, too. It's going to take us victims, you know, just in their face and just not, you know, not backing down. I mean, they have to literally put a bullet to my eyeballs to stop me. That's it.
Yeah, I will never get a vaccine in my life, and if I do, I will be disabled for the rest of my life if I'm still here. But you're right.
Yeah.
We've got to stop them from putting wealth before health. And I always say that you cannot put wealth before health, because we're going to have nothing.
That's right. Well, that leads me into something really exciting. I just got confirmation. It keeps coming to us, and then I have to stop and say, okay, is it Father's will or not? You know, because I'm losing my voice. I'm a very strong faith person. My daughter that I've had since Casey's passing, I got pregnant 5 months after. Her name is Faith, which is the only reason I'm breathing, talking to you right now. And, you know, when he's with you, who can be against you? But we just got confirmation today that this is still going forward. We have a timeshare resort in Ixtapa, Mexico, that was in my husband's life about 15 years ago. They tried to make it happen, but it just wasn't timing. But it's a 250-room, 100-employee staff already of a timeshare resort that they're wanting to give us the back five-story building that they have back there, that we can bring in some high-tech equipment like ozone machines and all these different machines Gary's been introduced to reverse the cancer process over the years. About 15 different devices, and we're going to be bringing people in to Ixtapa, and number one always is taking the hand out from over the mouth. We have to clean up the cells.
That's right.
And do the cleanse with them. Yeah, do the cleanse with them, take them through the treatments, and then also phase two is cellular restoration to restore the cells. So it looks like this is going to move forward, and we're going to be charging probably a half at the most of the price of most healing centers, because it's not about the wealth over the help. It's just the opposite.
That's right. Oh, Renee, that is beautiful. This is so exciting that you're putting that clinic together. I would love to send clients there. So you've got to keep me informed about that.
I will definitely do that. Supposedly, we already have the investor for the equipment. I mean, we don't have the finances we need to make the big thing that we saw at first happen, but we have an investor for the equipment of about $200,000. And then we are going to be going there hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We're going to drive over to Texas, like I mentioned, with the RV and park it at Gary's friend's house and fly into Ixtapa to start meeting the farmers and stuff to see if we can support the Mexican farmers that, you know, just don't have the money to get organic, you know, to do, to get a, you know, organic certification, but they're not using bug sprays and they're not using hormones. So we got to find the access to clean food over there. So that's kind of what we're doing now.
The clean food, I can't overemphasize how important it is to have clean food. You cannot constantly be barraging your system with dirty food and chemically laden food. You can't do that. And I also know in my personal journey and the journey of others that your diet is so important, and as you said, juicing is a huge part of it. And, you know, for me and a lot of people with these conditions, you've got to take the matches away from the fire. You can't keep setting these fires. And for me and most people, that means you have to stop eating gluten, and most people also have to stop eating dairy to recover, because if you don't do that, you're going to be highly inflamed, and you're just going to keep adding garbage to your system.
That's right. Yeah, food's huge. We just interviewed Dr. Eli Camp and Judith Thompson the last 2 weeks, who are doing this huge nutritional thing for children, like K-12. People can go back to the archives on our front page and listen to them. And then this coming up week, I'm hoping to interview Stephen and his wife, who are the original organic farmers here in Florida. That's the ones we're going to go spend some time with on the way to Texas. But nutrition's huge when it comes to reversing any cellular malfunction, for sure.
That's absolutely right. That's right. Yeah, you need the antioxidants, which are electron donors, and they help the cells work better.
That's right. Yeah, no, it's exciting. It's exciting. This Ixtapa thing is going to be called International Healing Solutions. Cell,
nice.
C-E-L.
I'm always a big fan of neologisms, making up a word of two other words.
Yeah, my husband says watch television. Not television, television.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you'd love to speak
with him. World record for how many words you can put the word cell into.
Right, exactly. You can listen to his shows too. We have the archives on the front page of all of our shows we've been doing since May. And I think the second show is Gary's What in the Cell is Going On presentation or talk. And then also he has a two-part series that's a couple weeks later that was Divine Answers to Cancer's Weapon of Wars Are Not the Answer. They're powerful teachings, because his expertise is cancer. He's been reversing that for over 30 years now. And we even just got a call from one that he reversed 13 years ago that just did a business with some major celebrity that's going to hopefully be the funding we need to make this Ixtapa thing happen. Because, you know, here in the States, you can't even say the word cure anymore or treat. I mean, the drug companies have such a control over what we could even say.
Right. Yeah. All you can say is it supports, you know, it supports your musculoskeletal system or something like that.
Exactly. You know, and unfortunately, it's because of what I've learned, you know, they're taught evolution in medical school. They're not taught creation. You know, right. They think they are God. We have extra body parts. Take out the tonsils. Take out the appendix like we're not supposed to have them. Hello.
Exactly.
They do something.
Well, and I think the word of doctor does come from deity or God.
Exactly. But they don't. And then they also use fear. They use the enemy's tool. They told me Casey would die if I didn't vaccinate her because I had canceled her appointment the week before because she was running fever or something. And Dr. Eisenstein, I'll never forget it. She made me feel like I was 2 feet tall. She's like, do you realize your daughter could have died this week? You know, fear, fear, fear. You're going to die if you don't get chemotherapy and radiation. Meanwhile, scripture says we have to, you know, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. We're supposed to have power, love, and a sound mind. We're not supposed to be fearful. And that's their tool. That's how they get us to move and get people
that's
to
right.
move. It is insane.
It's sickening. And that's what I don't understand about vaccine zealots is they really confuse the unvaccinated with the infected. And I don't understand why. I mean, it's not like vaccines are here to sanitize people. And it's not like an unvaccinated person is going to be carrying around a disease because they're unvaccinated. Quite the opposite, in fact. It's just bizarre.
Right.
People fall for it every day.
What it is, too, I had a nurse at one of my presentations. We're going to have to close in a few minutes. But a nurse at my presentation that told me, because I show in the end of the presentation these diseases, how they were coming down because of better sanitation and nutrition, like polio and all tetanus and all that. And then the drug companies introduced the vaccine and make it look like that's what eradicated or continued the decline. Well, a nurse got up at my presentation and she said, those charts are shown in medical school, but only from the point where the vaccine was introduced down.
That's right. Yep. They don't show the context of the entire history of the diseases coming down 90 to 99% before the vaccine was ever introduced.
Exactly. So here we're worshiping these doctors who are totally brainwashed by the drug companies because the schools are funded by them. The textbooks are written by them. You know, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, you're familiar with her, right?
Of course. Yeah, she's amazing.
Her book in The Rising from the Dead, she says, I was the walking dead. They are the walking dead.
Yeah.
And I agree with her.
Yeah, they're strapped with debt from medical school, and they've got to follow the guidelines from their HMOs. You know, you see a patient every 7 minutes. You can't do anything but prescribe if that's the model.
I know. Insane. Insanity. All right, we're out of time now. Alex, you're amazing. We need to continue this, please.
Absolutely, Renee. Yeah, this is fantastic.
We can talk forever, especially if I get my husband on the line next time. You guys will have a blast.
Yeah, that'll be great. I can't wait for your clinic to open. That's so exciting.
Yes, I'll keep you updated. And thank you again. And we'll get together on another date. Thank you for sharing your story. And I can't wait to squeeze you and meet you.
Likewise. All right, Renee, take care.
Okay, you're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website on the belly of the little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and our contact number is 800-939-8227. Again, if you have any questions about today's show, you just call the voicemail line, 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth, and y'all bless.
¶¶